The military has been touting its Career Intermission Pilot Program, or CIP, as a way for troops to live more flexible lifestyles. But for all of the advertising, enrollment numbers are low. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni joins me with more about his special report, Taking a Break. Is a flagship DOD personnel program working? And Scott, sounds like the CIP program is not getting too many sippers.
Yeah, that's one of the weird aspects of this. So the actual program itself allows troops to take 1 year to 3 years off to do something like take care of a loved one or go and back to school, maybe get your nursing license or your PhD, something like that. But we've seen that a lot of the sippers, as we can call them, there's not a lot of them. The Congress has continually increased the amount of people that the DOD can put into this program. It's up to 1,600 people now, but we're seeing that less than 10% of that are actually going into this program or being enrolled in it.
And this is available to all the armed services?
That's right. All the armed services. It's 400 people per service per year. But we're really not even seeing, 40 people a year going into this thing.
Well, what are the criteria? If there's only 400 people per service out of a population of 500, 600, 700,000 people, how do they know who would possibly be eligible in the first place?
Right. Well, pretty much everyone is eligible. One of the things is that it's usually for people that are kind of going on that mid-career point when they want to re-enlist again. You know, they're trying to decide between that. So around the 10-year mark is when we're seeing a lot of people going in. I've talked to a number of people who have actually done this. One woman went back to get her PhD. Another man, his daughter was sick and had to have part of her brain removed, so he took off time to take care of her. Now, one of the really interesting things about this program is that you still have your insurance. You still have dental and health insurance, and you still get paid as a reservist, so you don't really get a ton of money. But, you get off for 1 to 3 years. The thing is you have to pay that back double when you actually get back in the military again.
So that comes with a cost that is back-end loaded, you might say.
Right. It's a way that DOD can recoup on letting these people go. But you have to remember that they're most likely enriching their lives and enriching their experience and making themselves better troops for the future.
Now, you say this has originated with the Navy in the first place. What happened there? What made them initiate it?
So the Navy has been particularly interested in this because it's trying to retain some of its mid-career sailors. Not only that, but they've been trying to recruit more women. They realize that the pool of talented young men that they traditionally recruited in the past is starting to shrink. In fact, only 25% of young people are really eligible to be in the military at this point. So they said, you know, this is something that women really want. You know, they may want to go and have a child. They may want to go and get their PhD, tons of other things, take care of a loved one. And they also realized that for women, the public service wasn't necessarily something that was as important to them, but rather doing something for the good of their family, being a protector to their family. And that kind of made them feel, matronly in a way. And that was where public service kind of resonated with them instead of that patriotism kind of argument.
Interesting. So there's a little psychological feature to the whole reason why people may respond to this program.
Yeah, exactly.
We're speaking with Federal News Radio's Scott Massioni, and this idea of coming back for twice the time you had left over before you left, explain more about that, because that seems like people could look at that and say, well, that puts off retirement by a certain period of time.
That's true, yeah. And when people do this, it's not like they're just kind of jumping out, but it's rather something like they were saying, I probably wouldn't stay in the military if I didn't have this opportunity, especially when it comes to taking care of a loved one. One of the sailors that I spoke with, he said that, if his daughter was sick, he obviously would have gotten out. And it's not like he had trouble out in the outside world. He's a business owner. Outside of this, he owns a UPS shop. So it's not like he's hurting for money or anything, but he does this because of public service. So he would have gotten out of the military, but the Navy now has a chance to retain him because it helped his daughter.
Now, given the up or out promotion system that's still pretty prevalent in the military, could people not be taking this up because they're worried they would get off the ladder, so to speak, for promotions, especially if they're mid-career and they have a good piece of career left to go?
Right. Well, one of the contradictions that we've seen in this special report is that the Navy, the top Navy brass, the top military brass, and lawmakers all say we need to make this program permanent. It's great. They're touting it as this amazing thing. And, you know, they're right. This is a really great opportunity for sailors and all the other soldiers and troops. But the thing is they're not seeing the enrollment that they want, and making it permanent seems kind of strange. But one of the reasons that there are a couple of reasons, actually, that we think it's not being used. And I talked to the Chief of Naval Operations for Personnel about this, and also a couple other experts. And one is that they are afraid of repercussions in a promotion board situation. The upper out system is very rigid. While they're not supposed to take into account that they went on this program, some people think that, well, it's a pilot program. You know, might not be here forever. In the back of these promoters' minds, they're not going to promote me. The other big limiting factor is that they're only getting basically 1/15 of their salary while they're gone, because they're just reservists serving on the weekend once a month. So that's a ton of money. And if you don't have a GI Bill to work off of, or you don't have a spouse that can support you, or a family that can support you, this is something that you probably wouldn't be able to do.
And the GAO, the Government Accountability Office, has jumped into this a couple of times and taken some deep looks. What did they conclude?
Right. Well, I mean, they're saying it's really not that that studied, right? There's not a very big sample size that we can draw from to say that this should be a permanent program or that it actually works. And they've given a couple recommendations to DOD on how they can maybe better serve people, maybe how they can make things more flexible. But DOD has come back and said, well, this is kind of a cultural issue. A lot of the troops are afraid that they're going to get punished, even though Congress says you're not going to get punished. Because in the in the back of these promoters' minds, these are just regular men and women who are officers or, you know, senior enlisted, who are, you know, maybe taking into account combat experience over being in the Naval War College or something like that.
What's the future now for this program?
Well, there's currently a bill in Congress that would make this a permanent program. The Navy and DOD have previously pushed to make it a permanent program, but it was increased to extended into the end of 2019 as a pilot program. So DOD and the Navy aren't pushing as hard on it, but they'd really like to see it become something permanent.
And just a detail, if a commander grants this permission for someone to go out for a year and then come back, there's a cost to them to replace that person in that billet. Is that part of the deal, that you get the person to replace the one who's out temporarily, or do they just live with the hole, or what?
I think it really depends on the situation that they're in, you know, and how hurting they are for personnel in that certain area. You know, if it's a cyber billet, they're definitely going to want to either fill that billet as quickly as they can, or maybe not grant the SIP opportunity to that person. But, if it's a logistics officer or something like that, it may be a little less.
So the book is still out on this whole thing?
The book is out, but, we're seeing a lot of push to make it permanent without a lot of evidence.
Federal News Radio, Scott Massioni, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Check out his story, Taking a Break. Is a flagship DOD personnel program working? It's now online at federalnewsradio.com.